Hey everybody, I brought a special guest with me today. This man is one of the, it's actually the first person who instilled in me a love for God's word. This is my dad, Jim. You welcome him? I figured we're reading from James. His name is James. He's my dad. So I thought I'd have him read scripture for us tonight. It's on page 982 of the Pew Bible, if you want to open that. Page 982, James chapter 5, beginning with the 7th verse. Come on up, Dad, and read that for us.
Listen to the word of the Lord. From James chapter 5, starting with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. That happened today. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who show endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The word of the Lord from the book that we love.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Dad. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing, be acceptable to you. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Just a few months ago, I was driving in my car. I was still living in Connecticut, and I had to drive from Greenwich, Connecticut to Stamford. And I had in the passenger seat the executive director of our church. Her name is Sheila. It's about a 20-minute drive. We drove from Greenwich to Stamford to the new location, the church that we're building. And we got out of the car and we joined up with the rest of the church staff people there. And Sheila said, "You guys, Nathan is a maniac driver. You're not going to believe this." She said he was speeding. He was passing people. He didn't even need to pass. And then what makes it worse is when he was at a red light, he was staring at the red light, waiting for it to turn green, tapping his fingers on the steering wheel. I was mortified as Sheila was telling this story because, to be honest with you, I didn't even know I was doing any of that. And that shows you what a terribly impatient person I am, generally. And I was thinking about this, you know, Sheila's mortifying observation of my driving and what that kind of revealed about my soul. I was thinking, what is impatience? What is really impatience? What's the root cause of it? I was reflecting on that tapping of the steering wheel at the red light. And I think that impatience could be described as the anxiety of knowing that I'm not in control. Impatience is the anxiety of knowing that I'm not in control. Think about it. If I was in control of everything, I could tell the red light when to turn green and I could go about my merry way. Impatience is the anxiety of knowing we're not in control. Well, here we are in the fourth week of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is, maybe you can say it with me, the ones we've done so far, love, joy, peace, patience, we'll keep going, kindness, there is no law against these things. Fruit of the Spirit, these things that when we are abiding in the vine, when we are abiding in Christ, when we are tapping into God's presence through the Holy Spirit, He begins to bear this fruit in us, love, joy, peace, and tonight, patience. I don't know if there's anyone here like me tapping on the steering wheel of your soul, so to speak, with impatience, needing God to give us patience. By the way, if you've missed any of those first few weeks, this is kind of cool. We have an update for you tonight. We have rekindled our podcast. You can find this. Yeah, we hadn't updated the podcast. Yeah, thank you to the tech people who made this happen. If you missed any of the first few weeks of these gathering sermons, you can go find them. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can find the podcast for the gathering sermons. And if you were here and you want to re-listen to those, you can find those. But tonight, let's look at patience, because this chapter from James that we just heard my dad read, it gets at that root cause of impatience, and it shows us how to tap into the kind of patience that only God can give us through the Holy Spirit. So come bear this fruit in us, Holy Spirit. Let's look at this James passage together, beginning with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. You see, the end is in sight, even in this first sentence of the first verse. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. Do you remember 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we looked at joy? And what we saw in that scripture was that joy is possible if we know that the ending is good. And we had this illustration that we used of the roller coaster. When you're on the twists and the turns and the excitement of a roller coaster, you can have joy in those things because you know that the roller coaster is going to land you back where you started. It's going to end safely. But if you didn't know that the roller coaster was going to end well, if the car was going to come flying off the rails, you would have no joy through the twists and the turns of the roller coaster. It would be terrifying. Same thing here. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. We know that when the Lord comes back, when Jesus returns, he will culminate all the sad and bad and terrible stories of history into one big redemption story at the end. So when Jesus comes back, when the return of the Lord comes, it will be a good story. It will be a good thing ultimately for us. So we can be patient while we wait. And then an illustration is given right here in verse 7. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. I was thinking about this farmer in James. The farmer waits for the precious crop. You know what the farmer understands? The farmer understands something I didn't understand at the red light when Sheila was observing me tapping the steering wheel. The farmer has to wait for things that are outside of his control. The farmer can't control the weather. The farmer has to wait for the rain to come. Now, farmers don't just sit around like in some kind of Zen Buddhist state waiting for the rain to come. No, they have to work while they wait. This is an important reminder for us. God tells us to wait. God tells us to be patient. But it's not just that we're passive in the waiting. We work while we wait. I was at the Emmy fraternity house 2 weeks ago. I think there might be some Emmys here. And we studied this passage. They invited me to their Bible study that Jack Mack leads so well. It was such an awesome opportunity to be with those guys. That's my first time, I think, that I've ever been in a fraternity house. So thank you guys for inviting me over. No, it was really great. The reason I bring that up is because we studied this passage together because I wanted to know what James chapter 5 sounded like to them. And I wanted to get their feedback. I wanted to learn from them. And there was one guy there named Locke. Is Locke here tonight? Rock. Did I say Locke? Rock. I don't know why I said that. Is he here? Oh, you have to give him so much of a hard time for not being here. Rock. Don't tell him I messed up his name. Rock. Rock was sitting there with us studying this passage, and he said, you know, I grew up on a farm. And I said, oh, tell us what it's like to wait then for the early and the late rains. I said, is it, you know, I would imagine you don't just sit around and wait for the rain. He said, oh, no, you have a lot of work to do. You have to spread the fertilizer. You have to make sure all your equipment is maintained. You have to make sure that your storage barns are ready to receive the harvest. You work while you wait. According to Rock, the farmer. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rain. See, this illustration from Scripture is instructive for us. God says, be patient. God says, wait. But he doesn't tell us to be passive because there's a lot of work to be done in this world. There's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom of God. While we wait for that good story to come, while we wait for Jesus to come back, he says, be patient, but work while you wait. We learn all that from the farmer. Verse 8, you also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts. What this means is that we're going to have hardship in this world. But we learn from the farmer that there's some things we can control, preparing the equipment and so forth. There's some things that we can't control, like when the rain is going to come, when the weather is going to change. There's this beautiful prayer. I'm not sure if you know it. It's called the Serenity Prayer. If any of you have ever been through addiction recovery or have a family member or a friend who's gone to AA, they often pray the Serenity Prayer. I love the first line of the Serenity Prayer. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. When I pray that prayer, I become more patient because there are things in this world that are not in my control. And I need God to show me which ones I am in control of and which ones I'm not, so that I can be more patient. And I strengthen my heart through that process, like it says in verse 8. Verse 9, beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. That image of standing at the doors is another reminder that Jesus, it's like he's right outside the door. He's just waiting to come in. He's eager to come in. He's eager to bring this whole story to its ultimate conclusion in his timing. And it says here, don't grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. That word grumble just simply means to complain. Don't complain against one another. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when we have to wait in community, we have to wait in groups, often there's a lot of blaming that goes on. His fault, her fault, your fault, their fault. And people start complaining against one another in our impatience. It says, don't do that because you're going to have to give an account when Jesus does come back. He's asking us to be patient, to control the things we can and to trust him with the things we can't control and to guard our tongues from complaining, from grumbling against one another. So we are called to be patient. I looked up the word patience just for the fun of it in the dictionary, and it speaks to this issue in this verse. Here's what the definition of patience is. The definition of patience is it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Holy Spirit, we need this patience in us. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset, without grumbling against one another. That's patience. Now, if you're anything like me, you might hear that and you might say, okay, I get it. I have impatience. God gives me patience through his Spirit. There's things I can't control. But can you give it to me now? Can you make the light turn green? Can you resolve the conflict I'm having? Can you solve the trouble that I'm in, Lord? I don't know if you're anything like me, but even as I read these words, I have little moments where I can breathe with a little bit of patience. But the next moment, I'm right back to tapping the steering wheel of my soul. Well, God starts giving us reminders here in the next couple of verses about the fact that his timeline is often quite a bit longer than ours. Verse 10 is where we left off. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The prophets. Really? You know, you and I live in an environment where we can put our phone in our hands and get instant gratification, instant communication. We can solve problems in a matter of seconds. But the prophets of the Old Testament didn't have iPhones. They had much longer to wait for their gratification and for their stories to come to their conclusions. In fact, there was one that came to mind, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Maybe you know this verse. I see this verse everywhere. I see it on water bottles, on T-shirts. I think it was the verse of the day today on the Bible app. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You probably know it. For you know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and give you hope and a future. Do you know this verse? Many of you do. If you're hearing that for the first time, you'll probably hear it again if you hang around Christians. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. That's an awesome promise. And that's a promise that I would love for the Lord to give me now. I want that green light to turn now. But do you know what the verse right before it says? This is why I'm bringing it up, because James brings it up. He says, when you want to know about patience, consider the prophets. Jeremiah was a prophet. He gave that word. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. If you read the verse right before that in Jeremiah 29, verse 10, God's very clear. God says, I'm going to send you out into exile. It's going to be a terrible situation. But don't worry, 70 years later, I will promise not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. 70 years. That's longer than the average lifespan of a human being at the time Jeremiah said it. In other words, this promise of God was given to a group of people who wouldn't even see it themselves. Their kids had to be born and grow up to see that promise fulfilled. I have about the attention span of a person who looks at an iPhone all day and gets instant gratification and communication, and God says, be patient. I'm asking you to wait at least, well, in Jeremiah's case, 70 years. And if you culminate all the, if you take all the prophets together, there was 430 years between their prophecies and when Christ came. So that is a bit longer timeline than what I'm comfortable with. That's even longer than a red light between Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. What do you do with that? I don't know how to resolve that other than to say, when I make it all about me and my timeline, I remain impatient. I keep tapping the steering wheel of my soul. But when I begin to shift my attention away from myself and onto God, then I begin to get some perspective. Then I begin to get patience that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit in me. The next verse begins to shift our attention away from ourselves and onto God. Verse 11. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You've heard the endurance of Job. Now, Job is an interesting example. We just heard about the prophets. I gave Jeremiah as an example. But Job is interesting because he really shows us what it's like to take our attention off ourselves and onto God. Because Job had suffered much. God asked him to be patient through lots of tribulation. He lost his wife, his home, his finances, his kids. He lost everything. And he had these three friends. At the end of the book of Job, all the things that the three friends said get discredited by God. Job's three friends sat around with him, and they basically kept telling him to make it all about himself. And in many chapters, they were making it about themselves. And they were grumbling, and they were complaining, and they were full of self-righteousness, and they were full of all kinds of gossip and weird stuff. I don't know if any of you have friends like the three friends of Job. But Job, finally, he was basically just like, I'm going to take my complaints right to God. And at the end of the book of Job, God honored Job's lament to God, and he discredited the three friends who grumbled and complained and had bad theology and bad advice. The point here is that if we take our attention off of ourselves and onto God, maybe we'll have the endurance of Job. Maybe we can be patient. But even more than that, throughout verse 11, then at the end of it, it says, you've heard of the endurance of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord. How the Lord is compassionate and merciful. You see, so far in this text, we've been considering how we might be more patient. But you see what James does is he says, stop thinking about yourself for a minute and look upon the compassion and the mercy of our God. Exodus 34, verse 6 says, the Lord is a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God is patient. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16, this is the Apostle Paul writing. Listen to what he says. God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as an example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but God is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. I think it's annoying when a red light won't turn green when I want it to. Imagine God when he looks out at the whole earth, he sees all of us who know what to do. He's given us his law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He told us it plainly. And yet day after day, we keep rebelling against that perfect law. And thank God that he's patient with us. Because if I get anxious at a red light, I would be a terrible judge of the world. I would be so impatient with all of us. I probably would have smote us all by now. I was thinking if it was smitten or smote or what the tense of that word is. I probably would have smote us all by now. Maybe an English major can tell me if that was correct. But God, it says, is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And when we gaze upon him and his grace and his compassion and his patience with us, that he would go all the way to the cross to take our rebellion and our sin and our anxiety and our impatience and our sickness, all the things upon himself. We say, thank you, Lord. As I gaze upon you, I want some of that patience in my own life. So before we go to the communion table, I'll invite Charlie up to get in place for that. I want us to actually read the rest of the Serenity Prayer, this prayer that Reinhold Niebuhr wrote that Alcoholics Anonymous often prays. What I'm going to do, this is just a sort of a spiritual practice we can do together. I'm going to read a line from this prayer and then leave a moment of silence after each line. That's an opportunity for you to just make this prayer your own. This is a good prayer to make us patient, to receive the kind of patience that only God can give. So do you understand the assignment? I'll read a line. You say it silently. Afterwards, make it your own. Let us pray. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is. Not as I would have it. Trusting that he will make all things right. If I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. And say this last line with me. Amen.